Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren. Dr. Lindsay Warren is a clinical assistant professor of marketing in Baylor's Handkammer School of Business. She's a marketing scholar, business executive, artist, and entrepreneur. Her research focuses on narrative transportation theory, storytelling, and consumer behavior. She also investigates health edutainment, multicultural media and advertising, movies and entertainment, and more. In addition to teaching, Dr. Lindsay Warren is a marketing and public relations veteran, serving as managing director of Lindsay & Associates International Communications. She's with us today here on Baylor Connections. Dr. Lindsay Warren, thanks so much for joining us. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you, Derek, for having me. Good to be here.
Looking forward to visiting with you a little bit about storytelling and consumer behavior and how one impacts the other. But let's start off right as you got out of college. You began your career in Hollywood working as a TV film development executive. What was that, and how did that experience shape and influence your understanding and approach to storytelling and marketing?
Well, I essentially went to Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, and I was trained to I essentially went to film school, and I was specifically trained to be a TV film producer. So when I graduated and I was working for the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, then went to NBC, then went to CAA, Creative Artists Agency, one of the top talent agencies in the world, and then finally landed at Quincy Jones David Salzman Entertainment, working in the TV film departments. It was all along the lines of being trained to identify good actors, if you will, not just actors you see in front of the camera, but also actors you see behind the camera, whether we're directors or writers or whatever the case may be, and being able to identify good story with scripts as well as these actors and how to put all of them together to work in a wonderful concert, if you will, to tell stories, whether on television or in film. But I've always enjoyed the power of storytelling. I grew up in the arts and in theater, specifically musical theater, I should say, in Cincinnati, Ohio. So I've loved storytelling. I've loved, you know, opening numbers and closing numbers, things of that nature. But when I got to Hollywood, I really was exposed to all the nuances and, you know, from the business sector to the creative sector, and how to really put an excellent, high-quality entertainment product together.
When did you first begin to see the intersection of what you did then and what you're doing now? Because you were clearly being educated in what makes for a good story, but when did you see other ways that that could be purposed?
Well, I guess when I went to business school to get my MBA, I concentrated in marketing at Claremont, the Peter Drucker School of Management. And it was a wonderful education on the power of marketing. I didn't know that really what I was doing was marketing. When I was at NBC, they would say in terms of a time slot, it's location, location, location. You know, that makes the that's significant because you want your viewers to always be able to go to Thursday nights at 8 p.m. to see, you know, that specific show. That's marketing. So it was once I finished that MBA degree combined with my creative aspects, that's when I really understood the power of marketing and storytelling to be able to positively impact consumers, whether it's, you know, their cognitive processing or their behaviors. It just got me all jazzed up after I came out of business school.
We are visiting with Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren here on Baylor Connections. So you've just unpacked a little bit what we described more briefly at the top of the show, but there's a very education-sounding word when we talk about transportation theory. Let's dig a little bit deeper into that. When you think of what you saw in that industry and what you're doing now, what are the questions that motivate you, the problems that you and your students are motivated to solve through your work?
Well, let me go back. I uncovered the narrative transportation theory in my practitioner life. So once I started working in marketing, working for the likes of Procter & Gamble by way of the National Speaking of Health Foundation, I was the director of marketing for the United States Tennis Association, PR director for Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. And before I started my doc program, I oversaw all of communications for Uniworld Group, which is a WPP advertising agency and known as one of the longest standing multicultural advertising communications agencies in the United States. And through all of that work with different clients, I use this term of what I call edutainment as a strategy to positively connect with whatever stakeholders we were assigned to do a project for. So if it was Colgate and we were doing a media launch for Colgate, our audience were media, and it was by edutaining them, so educating as well as entertaining them, that powerful combination, I seemed to find worked very well in getting a hard subject matter digested with media. Same holds true for consumers. If we were teaching them about the importance of clinical trials, who really wants to talk about clinical trials at an event? However, if it's packaged up, if you will, with this education slash entertainment combination, it lands better with consumers. So that was the question that started me on my doctoral journey when I went to Rutgers University. Why is edutainment so impactful? Which ended up landing at narrative transportation, which is actually the process of consumers being absorbed in the telling of the story. So when you look at that process, what are some of the salient components of that process? You have relatable characters, conceivable plot lines, and then this wonderful aspect of verisimilitude. So realism, truth, authenticity. So to me, that is a powerful punch for consumers. And it's more than just telling the story. It's the process of the consumer really becoming involved, mind, body, spirit, in that telling. The Garrick, 1993, and some other scholars, Green and Brock, 2000, they almost call it grossly absorbed into the telling of the story. And once I realized that power, I really got excited to research it more and came up with the construct of empowered storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is it? What is empowered storytelling?
So in my research, empowered storytelling is storytelling that exudes the emotion of empowerment. So oftentimes we see storytelling that is aspirational. Fashion does that a lot. Beauty does that a lot. We see direct storytelling or commercialized storytelling where you'll see spots or infomercials for $9.99, you too can buy blah, 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 blah. But nowadays in the marketplace, and what I have worked as a practitioner before I came to my doc program, as I was saying, this aspect of edutainment, because I saw people with all the events or productions I would produce on behalf of clients, I saw people just feel the messages that in what we were doing in such a positive way, and then it would stay with them for a while when we do follow-up surveys or whatever the case may be. And I wonder, what is that? And so I called it empowered storytelling, because essentially that's what we were doing through promoting various health messages or these different types of subject matters. I always work to empower my audiences. And so I delved into, in my research, that emotion of empowerment, because that's what we were doing at Procter & Gamble, late 90s, early 2000s. And it was kind of ahead of its time. But I wanted to know, why was the emotion of empowerment so powerful, if you will? Because oftentimes in the marketing literature, happy is always researched, sad is always researched, you know, some of those main emotions, but empowerment, not so much in the marketing literature.
What are some of the techniques and ways you build that message of empowerment, that feeling of empowerment that they can take with them? Because you describe it, but I know it's not necessarily an easy thing to do, right? There's some things you have to do to make sure that message is baked in there.
Well, I defined empowerment in my research as a multi-layered emotion that creates optimism, inner power, confidence, and an inherent call to action that encourages positive and transformative behavior in consumers. And so take all of that, Derek, and pile that into storytelling with those salient characteristics and components of relatable characters, conceivable plots, and that aspect of verisimilitude. To me, that's the powerful punch. That if brands can do it right, they can really connect with consumers in a meaningful way.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren, Clinical Assistant Professor of Marketing in Baylor's Hand Camera School of Business. We are talking communications, marketing, and more. And what's it like for you teaching these concepts to your Baylor students? What are some of the things you see really maybe the lights go off in their head when you talk to them about this?
Well, in the context of advertising that I teach to my Baylor students, primarily seniors, and or digital marketing, again, teaching primarily seniors right before they graduate and go off into the workplace, it's not that difficult because they are essentially seeing empowered storytelling every day. My students who are primarily Gen Z, when I was in my doc program, they were millennials. Now I'm teaching Gen Z, and then the generation after them are the alpha generation. They're seeing this type of storytelling every day because brands want to connect with them, and they have been learning. And I have found also, too, in my research that these students don't want to be promoted to by way of a direct sales message. They want to see the values, the belief systems, and more being communicated and connecting to them in a real way. So that's the aspect of verisimilitude.
And Dr. Lindsay Warren, in your classes here at Baylor, you and your students have studied and analyzed Super Bowl ads together. What are some of the trends that you're seeing there?
Well, I love, love, love the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. In my classes, I'm teaching my students the concept of integrated marketing communications, where all aspects of the promotional P, if you know, out of the four P's, if you will, have to come together and speak with one voice. Because I'm a jazz singer, I'll say sing with one voice. Mm-hmm. But with the Super Bowl, I feel that's a wonderful example of integrated marketing communications. And we have a wonderful time looking at the Super Bowl commercials every year, digesting the commercials. And a trend that I'm definitely seeing is a focus towards women, which makes sense because I don't know if you know, but I found some statistics on girlpowermarketing.com that women hold 60% of the personal wealth in the U.S. They control over 20 million in worldwide spending. Women purchase over 50% of the traditional male products like automobiles, home improvement products, and consumer electronics. And then also approximately 40% of women, working women that is, are out earning their husbands. So it just makes good business sense for the NFL to really start putting some effort into reaching and better connecting with the woman consumer, even though they have not done a good job yet. It's wonderful to slowly see them, you know, make the effort to really connect authentically with the target audience. And so they need some more women in the advertising agencies for the NFL to create some stories that will emotionally connect.
Visiting with Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren. And Dr. Lindsay Warren, more broadly, are there other trends that you're noticing in advertising or in storytelling that people are using? Are there other areas that have piqued your interest to talk to your students about?
I mean, you know, just, you know, the new word of mouth, if you will, when we talk about integrated marketing communications in my classes and how to really develop an integrated marketing communications campaign in today's marketplace, galvanizing that word of mouth, not only through traditional media, but more so even on digital. So digital is the new word of mouth, if you will. Whereas 10, 20 years ago, we looked to our friends, our family, our community leaders, our pastors, our barbers, our beauticians to tell us, you know, about a good movie or whatever the case may be. Now those influencers are online, but digital is the new word of mouth. And so being able for brands, being able to galvanize word of mouth on digital is another trend. To me, empowered storytelling is that strategic tool that can help brands galvanize that word of mouth.
Well, Dr. Lindsay Warren, you mentioned movies, which provides us a good transition to talk about some other research that that you have done. Late 2017, I believe it was, we saw in a number of different media outlets some research that you had done talking about movies mm-hmm. and word of mouth. And you've analyzed an area of opportunities for movie distributors when they release movies starring people of color. What are mm-hmm. some of the dichotomies that you found there that maybe could be bridged?
Sure. So the actual article, if I may, was titled Still Waiting for Olivia Pope and Wonder Woman, an event data analysis on the effects of emotional contagion in movies starring women and actors of color. And so it actually, Derek, won the Best Paper Award in 2018 in the Journal of Cultural Marketing Strategy. Right. And basically what my co-author, Dr. Serda Yela, and I we're wondering, and again, it goes back to my work in Hollywood, and I still, you know, work on projects to this day. My very personal experiences of going to venture capitalists on Wall Street, I would always get answers. Projects starring women or actors of color don't sell overseas. They have poor international box offices, and ultimately, we don't want to get involved in that. And I didn't accept that answer. And so when during my doc program at Rutgers, I did start a whole nother research stream trying to tell a better story of how movies starring women, all kinds of women, as well as actors of color, perform in the box office when they are in the first or second position of the movie. Because essentially, studios, whether it's the Warner Brothers, Paramount, Sony's of the world, they will build a movie around a particular actor in the first or second position of the movie. So that was the question, because there can be all kinds of women and actors in movies, but the determining factor for when a project gets greenlit, is when the actor's in the first or second position of the movie. So looking at that, looking through that lens, we built on the premise of new product takeoffs, because essentially the movie industry is constantly doing new product takeoffs each week. Each week, they are releasing 5 to 8 movies every week. So the question is, or was, are these movies starring women of color in those first positions equally as profitable as movies starring men in that first position? And what we found was yes, they can be. If we give word of mouth the proper time to spread. And what I found in terms of the dichotomy of movies starring Caucasian men versus movies starring women, all women, as well as actors of color, when you get to that 4-week mark of a movie's distribution, week 5, there starts uptick, if you will, in terms of profitability. However, for the movie starring women and actors of color, the screen distribution, where you would think it should increase on week 5, since you're starting to see this uptick, they minimize the screen distribution, whereas the movie starring Caucasian men then continue to increase the screen distribution, even though perhaps both movies are making good money. That's the next research, actually, mm-hmm. project to go into deeper on this movie distribution and how does that work. I've never worked in movie distribution, but after this project, you know, my co-author and I, we got really curious as to why is that? Why is that? Does that dichotomy exist? Because to me, Hollywood's leaving a lot of money on the table. And if they would, before the movie opens, increase the promotional window, because typically it's 2 weeks, if they would increase it to 4 and give word of mouth time to spread, especially for these movies starring women and actors of color, they'd probably have a bigger box office during that opening weekend, which is, that's the business goal for all movie studios.
Well, Dr. Lindsay Warren, as we wind down on the program, what are some ways that businesses, whether they be movies or otherwise, can better understand their audiences and the related habits of that they can so that they can reach them better?
Stop being lazy. I know everyone is overworked and overwhelmed with everything that we have to do on our day-to-day responsibilities in business. However, it's been my experience, whether as a practitioner, a marketing consultant, and even more so as a researcher, that marketing departments within businesses nowadays have to go deeper. You know, it's not enough to just understand the demographics, but better understand behavioral insights of consumers, because understanding those insights allow you to act and make better business decisions, tell stories through your advertising, through your internal communications, throughout your entire marketing mix to better connect with Millennials, Gen Z, and Alpha Generation, and the generation after that. It's about emotional connections nowadays with consumers, because those are the behaviors, if you will, that last the long term. You know, so often we're trying to, you know, hit our business goals with short-term fixes, but nowadays these particular generations want long term. They want meaningful. And so what worked for baby boomers and the other generations is definitely not going to work for our current consumer generations and afterwards. So go deeper, get the appropriate people on your teams in those decision-making rooms so that everyone is involved with producing the proper stories or getting the proper insights to reach the consumers, and take strategic risks. Hulu, Netflix, you know, they're winning because they're playing outside of the box, if you will. They're galvanizing new voices and diverse storytellers. They understand the heartbeats and minds and spirits of their target consumers, and they're connecting with them in ways that relates to them, as well as gets to them. You know, their product is getting to them everywhere the consumers are. Mm-hmm. And so stop being lazy.
Plenty of work yet to be done as we get closer to that. Well, thank you very much. Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren, thank you so much for joining us today on the program.
Thank you for having me. Truly appreciate being here.
Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren, Clinical Assistant Professor of Marketing in Baylor's Handkammer School of Business, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.